Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And you can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Precious and Heavenly Father, we come this evening to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to let this broadcast be all that you would have it to be. Touch each and every one that is listening in on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever they are listening to the sound of my voice. Bless them, O Lord. Bless their homes. Bless their families. Bless their finances. Guide them in the way that you would have them to go. And let, again, Lord God, let this program be all about you and not about us. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life through him. Lord God, we ask that you heal those who need a healing this evening, Lord God. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord God. We ask that you go down by the hospitals, nursing homes, juvenile hall, prison cells, Lord God. Someone needs a touch right now, Lord God. Someone needs comforting, Lord God. Comfort all of those who have lost a loved one within this past month or week or day, Lord God. Wrap your loving arms around them and comfort them and let them know that everything is going to be all right. Lord God, thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, divine healing in our bodies. Lord God, we thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you're going to do, and everything that you have done, Lord God. We thank you for a roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our backs, Lord God. We ask that you increase our finances, Lord God. Let your will be done in each and everything that is here going on this evening. And I ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is to be overcome by your presence,
God. I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. beautiful song.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve
y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah,
my hallelujah belongs to you.
My
hallelujah.
From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah.
Lord,
my hallelujah.
Yeah.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Then we simply say, you deserve. Real simple, say it, church. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord. You deserve it, Lord, yeah.
All of the glory,
yeah. Everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory,
y'all got it now, come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord.
Everybody, come on and come to the table. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
baby gray, and I wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like? He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you.
Amen. Praise God. Dear God, We want to thank you for all of those things you do that we never see, helping us get through each day safely, making sure our family is protected, and all of the other countless blessings you have given unto us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, The Unseen View. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Amen. Praise God. The reason your situation may appear confusing is because you may be relying on your limited understanding of it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, but when we rely only on human knowledge, we end up getting into serious trouble. We must take into account that God is working in the unseen, in the spiritual realm that we cannot perceive, an engineering resource that we don't even know exists. Why would the Lord allow these things to be hidden from you? It is because he wants to stretch your faith by having you seek him in them. You see, the Father doesn't want you to be confined to a day in, day out earthly existence. Instead, he wants you to learn to live on the higher planes with him, where you are growing spiritually. You're taking hold of his blessings and you're becoming a powerful ambassador for his kingdom. Amen. And God cares about and provides for you to a level that is beyond what you can imagine. He is interested in every aspect of your life, even ones you do not perceive. So take time to ask the Lord to show you the direction you need to take and expect him to answer. He will make sense of your circumstances and show you the way forward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Jesus, teach us to view our circumstances from your perspective. We submit to you in them. Amen, amen, and amen. And I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our call-in number is 319-527-6204. You can call in your prayer requests at that number. And also, we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. To God be the glory. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe throughout the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, our families, and pray that you will send your angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy.
Glorify you. withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Come on, you say.
Reveal your ways to me. Show me your path. Walk beside me, before me, pointing the way. O living God, guide me and direct me. Make me aware of your presence when I am not. Give me discernment to see your work behind the scenes when I do not see your hand. And please go before me as you did with the Israelites to drive out my enemies and help me to settle into the destiny you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
woke up this morning, baby, and it was a different world. I was no longer a boy, and you were no longer a girl. What the hell are we gonna tell our children's children? How we left them in this mess? When radiation from the sun brings carcinogenous fatalities and sickness. Yes, Armageddon is real. The great imposters claiming to be the savior of the world. Controlling people with digital numbers. Building affordable housings called jails. Satanical legion of doom taking control of the media. Getting greedier and greedier, making people needier and needier. A diabolical scheme to place the world on welfare. Under robotic control, leaving people with only one hope of despair.
What it is, what it is, what it is.
Hiding from drones and robotic police, forced to live in refugee camps, displaced from homes, far from society, stripped of citizenship because of disease, neighborhoods of war zones, where only the strong survive and the weak are buried like dog bones. Slavery is only for the poor. There is no more rich, only wealthy. The working class is regulated and conditions to serve, to stay healthy. Miles and miles of cities under domes, protection from exposure of the sun. Virtual ecosystem sustaining life, where water is not free for everyone. Technology, mind control from video games, cell phones, and people are governed by holograms that will replace TV. No longer syndications, no communications, no freedom of speech or press. Capitalism will be a thing of the past. A new world order rose to power in the guise of a virtual god. No questions asked. Only one religion allowed. Worship held in a virtual church with virtual spirituality. No need for miracles, healing the sick, or love, for there will be no more families. Test tube babies belong to the order, never to know their conception. Population controlled by a sperm bank lottery under Big Brother's monetarization.
Amen. Praise be to God. Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today I invite you to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you, Father. I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will, and I will praise you for the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. So at this time, we are going to get ready to go into the Word. Amen. So I will play a short selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives eternally, the path of righteousness, chosen to serve the King of Kings. The Son of God walked this earth, bringing grace to the undeserved, crucified in our place, forgiving sin, interceding. The heart of the Spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of the Spirit lives eternally,
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to go to chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 23. Amen. That's Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 23. Praise God. And this chapter is about the justice of a righteous God. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, "Then another message came to me from the Lord. Why do you quote this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouth pucker at the taste. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you will not quote this proverb anymore in Israel. For all people are mine to judge, both parents and children alike. And this is my rule. The person who sins is the one who will die. Suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is just and right. He does not feast in the mountains before Israel's idols or worship them. He does not commit adultery or have intercourse with a woman during her menstrual period. He is a merciful creator. He is a merciful creditor, not keeping the items given as security by poor debtors. He does not rob the poor, but instead give food to the hungry and provide clothes for the needy. He grants loans without interest, stays away from injustice, is honest and fair when judging others, and faithfully obeys my decrees and regulations. Anyone who does these things is just and will surely live, says the sovereign Lord. But those that man has a son, But suppose that man has a son who grows up to be a robber or murderer and refuses to do what is right, and that son does all the evil things his father would never do. He worships idols on the mountains, commits adultery, oppresses the poor and helpless, steals from debtors by refusing to let them redeem their security, worship idols, commit detestable sins, and lend money at excessive interest. Should such a sinful person live? No, he must die and must take full blame. But suppose that sinful son, in turn, has a son who sees his father's wickedness and decides against that kind of life. This son refuses to worship idols on the mountains and does not commit adultery. He does not exploit the poor, but instead is fair to debtors and those not rob them and does not rob them. He gives food to the hungry and provides clothes for the needy. He helps the poor does not lend money at interest, and obeys all my regulations and decrees. Such a person will not die because of his father's sins. He will surely live. But the father will die for his many sins, for being cruel, robbing people, and doing what was clearly wrong among his people. What you ask, does not the child pay for the parent's sins? No, for if the child does what is just and right and keeps my decrees, that child will surely live. The person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. But if the wicked people turn away from all their sins and begin to obey my decrees and do what is just and right, they will surely live and not die. All their past sins will be forgotten, and they will live because of the righteous things they have done. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die, says the Sovereign Lord? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. Amen. God is perfect love, but he also dispenses perfect justice. His perfect love causes him to be merciful to those who recognize their sin and turn back to him. But he cannot overlook those who willfully sin. Wicked people die both physical and spiritually. God takes no joy in their death. He would prefer that they turn to him and have eternal life. Likewise, we should not rejoice in the misfortunes of non-believers. Instead, we should do all in our power to bring them to faith. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Responsibility is a battle scarred word in our vocabulary. It has been misunderstood, misapplied, manipulated, and kicked around in general. It has been the victim of extreme fickleness. One day, we love it, praise it, defend it, and cherish it. The next day, under a different set of circumstances, we ignore it, evade it, run from it, and pretend it doesn't exist. At times, responsibilities is terribly hard to live with, but there is no escaping it. Run away from it, and it catches up with you. Pretend that it's not there, and when you round the next corner, it will be starting. It will be staring you in the face. This is God's sovereign plan. So whether the focus is on our country, our God, ourselves, or ourselves, we must deal with the matter of responsibility. Amen. In spite of all the problems that beset today, those of Ezekiel and his people, 10,000 strong and miles away from their homeland, were far worse. It was time for God to come to grips with the issues. Thus, in a private audience with his young prophet Ezekiel, God dealt with responsibility. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you tonight to acknowledge you as our sovereign creator, Lord and Redeemer. We come acknowledging you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. We thank you for life, for love, and for hope. We thank you for your forgiveness and for the gift of new life. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you with our material substance. Accept it as an expression of the gratitude of our hearts. Bless it to the end that others shall experience your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, and it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquities of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And my title for this evening, Responsibility, Individual or Collective. First, God dealt with the past. There is an attribute of God that is baffling to us humans, for whom life and time are divided into past, present, and future. With God, there is no past, and in a manner of speaking, no future. He is above and beyond time because he is the eternal God who had no beginning and will have no ending. He exists in the eternal presence. When Jesus was defending his deity before his enemies, he said in John 8 and 58, "Before Abraham was I am, not I was." But nonetheless, a human being has a past, and though it is folded like a dry flower between the pages of yesterday's chapter, the past is very much there. And often it demands to be heard, to be dealt with. Amen? Anyway, you look at it, when we are born, We come into a world that is filled with circumstances we did not create. They heavily hand of the past rests upon us. The heavy hand of the past rests upon us. Many times a young lad will grow into manhood and go off to fight and die in a war he did not start and may know very little about. Likewise, Ezekiel and his people in exile were caught in a situation they did not create. But in that almost impossible dilemma, God had called them to make their lives count for him. Because of the compound sins of their father before them, they were shut away. They were shunt away from their homeland and from all they had counted dear. It was easy for them to become cynical. They had a proverb that went like this in Ezekiel 18:2. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And when these Hebrews quoted this proverb to each other, they were trying to cover up their guilt with some barbed jokes against God and his justice. God wants us to forget the past. God said to Ezekiel, I am tired of hearing the people quote their sarcastic little proverb. I am weary with hearing them live in the past and feel sorry for themselves because of the consequences they are suffering as a result of their father's sins. True enough, their fathers may have eaten sour grapes, but tell your people, Ezekiel, that they cannot escape responsibility for themselves and for their own sins and shortcomings. Amen. Praise be to God. This brings us then to the way in which God deals with the present and the corresponding responsibility he has placed upon us. When children are born into this world, they must be cared for immediately or they will die. Nevertheless, a baby is an individual who is different from every other individual in the world. When the child reaches the age of responsible choice, he or she must make moral decisions. It is not always easy to make choices, and most of the time we would rather have other people make them for us. This is the situation Ezekiel faced. His people were shirking their moral responsibility. They wanted to accept the neighborhood standards, to drift with the tide. They were in Babylon. Let's live like the Babylonians, they were saying. They felt God had failed them and was punishing them for their father's sins. So they had decided quietly to forget about God. Then it was that God gave Ezekiel a word for his people. Amen. In Ezekiel 18:4, and the RSV, he said, "Behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins shall die." And we can state that same truth positively and say, the soul that is righteous will live. What is life? It can mean mere biological existence, or it can mean an awareness of God and of his desire to become involved in a person's life. What is death? It can mean the end of one's biological functions, one's physical life, or it can mean annihilation and separation from God, alienation and separation from God. Here, of course, God is speaking to his people about spiritual life and death. Amen. It is a tragic fallacy of human nature that in times of prosperity, a person is tempted to credit himself with the blessings he enjoys. But in time of adversity, he is tempted to blame all of his trouble on his forefathers, his enemies, or God. Certainly, there is nothing wrong with examining as carefully as possible the historical events that have brought about a peculiar tragedy, the consequences of which we are suffering. But in the midst of the tragedy, we must remember that individuals are still responsible before God for their actions. Nobody can be righteous for you, not parents, church, or state, and you cannot be righteous for anyone else. But neither can one generation keep another generation from receiving spiritual life from God. No person can hide spiritually behind his family, his tribe, or his nation. Each one of us is individually responsible to God for the way we live in a world we did not create. Amen. Praise be to God. And finally, let's see how God deals with the future in regard to our relationship with him. In our day of massive organization, we as individuals sometimes wonder if our life matters much one way or the other. It does. A left fiddler on a baseball team is unquestionably a part of the team. Yet when the ball is coming his way and the sun is in his eyes, what he does as an individual is what counts. And here is a more serious illustration. A man, a husband, A father says, my wife takes care of the religion in our family. What is he doing? He is destroying his own spiritual life, and he is endangering the spirit lives of his children, all in an easy, gracious, and charming manner. He is not an evil man by society standard. His personal ethnicities may be up to the standards of his community, but he has simply not made room for the Almighty God in his life. Spiritually, he is dying on his feet. Ezekiel was preaching to a group of people, most of whom were pleasant and charming. They were not cursing God, but neither were they willing to accept the responsibility of serving him. But listen to God's word to them. Words that apply as much to us today as they did to those people in ancient Babylon. The wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. He shall not die. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, said the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. Ezekiel 18:21-32. In all of this, God was saying, I care for you. I made you so that you can respond to my love. Indeed, you may live at a time in history when things are bad, and the consequences you are suffering may stem from problems you did not create. But wherever you are right now, in whatever valley of shadow you may find yourself, you can make life count if you will turn to me. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. As to eternity, every man was, is, and will be dealt with, as his conduct shows him to have been under the old covenant of works or the new covenant of grace. Whatever outward sufferings come upon men through the sins of others, they deserve for their own sins all they suffered. And the Lord overrules every event for the eternal good of believers. All souls are in the hand of the great Creator. He will deal with them in justice or mercy, nor will any perish for the sins of another. Who is not in some sense worthy of death for his own? We all have sinned, and our souls must be lost. If God deal with us according to his holy law, but we are invited to come to Christ. If a man who had shown his faith by his works had a wicked son, whose character and conduct were the reverse of his parents, Could it be expected he should escape the divine vengeance on account of his father's piety? Surely not. And should a wicked man have a son who walked before God as righteous, this man would not perish for his father's sins. If the son was not free from evils in this life, still he should be partaker of salvation. The question here is not about the meritorious ground of justification, but about the Lord's dealing with the righteous and the wicked. Amen. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, we could call these events in which Ezekiel participated a dress rehearsal for God's final triumph on earth. These people to whom Ezekiel prophesied and through whom God had chosen to bring his son into the world were not important, social or political, socially or politically. They were exiles, but God promised he would return them to their home. Before they could return, however, they had to become spiritually fit. They had to receive a new kind of life that only God could give them. And so it is with us. God wants to bring humankind back to him, but he will not, he cannot, until people repent of their sins and receive God's free gift of eternal life. That is the personal responsibility of each one of us. We stand alone in this choice. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was on to me. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I need your Holy Spirit Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into a good Bible teaching church. That's all you have to do to continue your Christian walk. And my closing is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. And may God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. At 10:15, I will come with a word from the Lord. And following that, our psalmist, Barbara Amore, will come with our poetry. And unfortunately, Pastor Kathy will not be with us with Talk in the Sanctuary because of the loss of her son in a terrible, tragic motorcycle accident. Amen. So we asking everyone to keep her and her family in prayer. That's Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. We love you. And may heaven smile upon you. Till we meet again tomorrow morning. Good night and shalom.
Belongs to you. Belongs. It's possible without God. We come to know His mercy, humbling ourselves to His mountain. We pray His holy kingdom reign. As far as the eye can see, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and He's coming in the clouds.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to pray one for another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.